Our God is an awesome God. Today we come to the third message in this series, Becoming Kingdom Builders. And I'm going to preach on a topic today entitled Soul Sanctification. So I'd like you to be finding in your word this morning the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. And then when you find that verse and chapter, if you would rise to your feet as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. If you're there, say amen. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Well, Holy Father, as we come to your word this morning, as we begin to speak about what it means to have a sanctified soul, Father, I just pray that your spirit would testify with our spirits, that you would do exactly what you promised to do in your word, that our spirit and our soul and our body would be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this morning, and all of God's people said, Amen. I think in the day and the time in which we are living, as we watch what is going on around us in our world today, we need to understand that the real war for our souls doesn't stop at justification at the moment we receive salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, but with sanctification. And that is the term that the Bible uses to describe our need to become holy and be holy. King David understood this because King David wrote these words, Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Can I ask you this morning, do you have God's word hidden there? Is God's word hidden in your heart that you might not sin against him? Now, contrary to what many believers think, are you aware that only one third of us get saved at conversion? And it isn't our souls, but our spirits that get saved. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wrote here in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Our spirits get saved, and the remaining two-thirds of us, our souls and our bodies, must be saved through a process known as sanctification. You see, at conversion, the incorruptible seed of God's Holy Spirit gets transferred into our hearts where our spirits reside. Now, note, Peter wrote that the incorruptible seed gets planted by the Word of God. Is this consistent with Holy Scripture? Well, let me ask you, how does a person come to faith in Christ? And God says, faith is secured in this way only. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and 17. And so we don't want to miss how we receive faith and how the incorruptible seed gets planted within us. That's why we read in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now God's word is very clear. He states that we have been saved by an incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The incorruptible seed of the Holy Spirit brings eternal life to our spirits. But friend, do you realize not only can sin not dwell within this incorruptible seed, but sin cannot stay where this incorruptible seed got planted. Thus, at our conversion, our spirit now houses the Holy Spirit. That's why if a person is truly saved, they can never get unsaved. That's a very important thing. That leaves our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and our bodies. Our souls still need to get saved. How? God's word teaches, Titus 3, 5, and 6, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17 and 3, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. But now remember, because of Adam's sin, our souls were fully contaminated with sin when we were physically born. That's why David wrote in Psalm 51 and 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so you see, it's not until we get saved that God can begin in us the process of soul sanctification. Since our spirit is fully sanctified at conversion, in Holy Scripture, the word heart refers to the totality of man's being. It includes our spirit and our soul. That's why the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we all know that the physical heart's job is to pump life-giving blood throughout our bodies. And the role of our spirit is to pump God's life-giving truth into our souls and into our bodies. The Word of God never bypasses the spirit and goes straight into our souls. It goes into our spirits first and then into our souls. And I'm going to try to illustrate this for us in a moment, but I want you to remember what Paul said. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Paul says it's from the spirit to the soul to the body. And so this large bowl represents the body. This bowl represents our soul. This bowl represents our spirit. And God says we take the life-giving word of his truth and we bring it into our spirit. and it flows into our souls, which goes into our bodies and out from us into the world. Hallelujah. Exactly what Paul said. And I pray, God, that your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what you've just witnessed in the physical realm is what happens in the spiritual realm when soul sanctification is taking place. When soul sanctification is taking place, we begin to think and we begin to act differently. This is the natural outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, the truth of His Word within us. Listen to me. When we're committed to getting God's truth into our hearts, God's truth pumps into our spirits and then into our souls and then out, just as in this illustration. Hallelujah. This is an exciting time. And it ought to be an exciting time for you to be in the Word of God and hide God's Word in your heart, because the more of God we get into us, the purer and the holier and the less blameless we are. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, what, church? Blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God's truth begins to control our thoughts, our emotions, our choices, our minds, our wills, and our feelings, friends, those things are all a part of our soul. The more of God's truth that gets into our spirit, the more our soul becomes sanctified. And it's here where the strongholds of sin in your life and mine begin to get broken apart. And God can begin to do a work that only God can do. Now remember, God's Word teaches us that every child of God is in the middle of an angelic conflict. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now think about your life as a child of God. In this angelic conflict, the devil knows if he can't keep our spirits from becoming fully sanctified at conversion, and he cannot. It means he has to keep our souls from becoming sanctified after conversion. And the devil accomplishes this by stopping or polluting the flow of God's Word into our spirit. Because the devil knows if he can stop us from receiving God's truth, in other words, if he can get you to come up with some kind of an excuse why you're not going to be in the Word of God, then he knows God's truth cannot be pumped into your spirit, which will overflow into your soul, which will overflow into your body, which will overflow into this world. And so what happens when you and I decide, well, we're just not going to feed on God's Word, and we're not receiving the nourishment that we need? And do you know that your spirit gets hungry just like your tummy does? And so you know as well as I do, how many of you like junk food? Raise your hand this morning if you like junk food. Now, friend, you know it's not good for you. Say amen. It's hollow calories. Say amen. All it does is make us fat. You don't have to say amen. We can all come repent. Amen. Think about this junk in this world today, because it can be just about anything. From fast food to illicit entertainment to violent video games to drugs, alcohol, negative news, social media envy, you name it. And what happens in the physical realm is that junk comes out of us. We all know the saying, junk in, junk out. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day, those religious people? O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What might Jesus say today are some of the things that come out of a Christian's mouth? Jesus said regarding the tree of our lives, he said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Well, let me illustrate again what happens in the physical realm when we feed our spirits with junk. And I'm going to put a lid on this small bowl because the Holy Spirit of God, he only receives the pure, unadulterated word of God. But when we want to feed our souls with junk, it cannot get in where the Spirit of God is because we have grieved the Holy Spirit of God, and we may be even guilty of quenching the work of God. And so what happens, we're eating junk, and you'll notice what happens to our soul and our body and what flows out of us, because what flows in must come out. This is why we need the precious word of God. Because when God's word comes in, it begins to clean things up. Uh-oh. Well, I was worried about that this morning, but at least we'll keep you all awake. I can just hear it when you go home. I wonder what our crazy pastor will have for us next week. Now, when we feed on the junk, the pollution of the world gets into us, doesn't it? And friend, we're taking hits to our soul and our body when we're feeding on the junk. The lid's on our spirit. God protects his spirit. The only thing that the Holy Spirit of God will accept is the pure word of God and nothing else. So when you and I want to feed on the junk, we continually quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives because we're continually grieving the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can only accept the pure word of God's word and nothing else. And so as we saw, look what happens to our souls when we feed on the junk of this world and not on the precious word of God. Instead of our soul being sanctified with the word of God, it gets further and further and further contaminated. And no soul sanctification can take place until God's word, the truth of God's word, again begins to flow into our souls, into our spirits, that it might flow into our souls and into our bodies. So I want us to realize something this morning. The longer we allow the junk of this world in, the more the Holy Spirit's work is quenched in that Christian's life. And this, incidentally, is why any Christian counseling or otherwise that doesn't focus from the inside out and not the outside in is a total waste of time and money. You see, most counseling is focused on correcting behavior, and we do this even in our Christian life. We focus on correcting behavior from the outside in rather than the inside out, but the Bible clearly teaches that it must be from the inside out, for no behavior can change until the spirit is transformed by the truth of God's word. That's why anybody who's ever been on a diet, well, you can use your willpower for maybe a long time, but eventually your own power going to give out, and you know as well as I do, after you've dieted, you get off that diet, you put all the pounds back on, they bring friends, they bring more. What happened? We can't live the Christian life in our own strength, can we? We need a power that comes from the inside out, and that's where the Holy Spirit resides, in our spirit. And so no behavior can change until the spirit is transformed by the truth of God's word. Now listen, know how the devil loves it when we keep coming back to focus on what our bodies are doing and not doing instead of focusing on what's going on in our spirit and in our soul. The devil loves it when we keep coming back to the place where Jesus and his word are not permitted to have the final word. And do you know why? Because the devil knows then we will never find complete healing and we will always be in bondage to him. Here's the issue. If the God of our understanding is not Jesus Christ, then we don't have his resurrection power living inside of us to help us overcome sin. Said another way, no Jesus, no truth. No truth, no resurrection power, no resurrection power, no deliverance. Conversely, Jesus said this to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, know the word, know truth, know resurrection power, know deliverance, and know healing. Oh, how good it would be to know the healing. And friend, hallelujah to the power of Jesus Christ and his word. If you ever wonder how powerful that word is, this is how powerful it is. Spiritual battles can only be fought and won with spiritual weapons. And until Jesus Christ and his word have the final authority and the final say and can take over more and more territory in our souls by way of the Spirit, the more the strongholds of sin in our lives can never be broken. Are you taking in more of the Word of God? That whatever stronghold of sin, those things that constantly come and tempt you, those things you continually trip over, and we've all have them. Are you getting the pure Word of God into your body, into your spirit, that it can flow out into your soul, that it can begin to cleanse and cleanse and cleanse and break down those strongholds of sin? Can I ask you a question? Would you want to stay in a recovery room forever? I've never met anybody yet who wants to stay in a recovery room forever. Did you ever notice that when you read the Bible, when you read the gospel accounts, whether it be spiritual or physical, whenever Jesus healed somebody, it always happened immediately? That invalid, that patient, whoever it was, they didn't hang out in a recovery room for the next 30, 40 years. Now, it's hard for some of us to receive the healing that Jesus Christ has for us through his word because we just will not allow God's word to have the final word in our lives. That's because we grab and we hang on tight to the things when we need to let go. That God's word can have the final word and final say in our life. I think it's time for some of us to receive the spiritual healing that Jesus Christ has for us in his word and take up our mats and walk in Jesus' name with souls and bodies that are being sanctified more and more through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. That's the truth. Jesus said you shall know the truth. I want you to understand something this morning. The reason for all the chaos in the world is because the body of Christ hasn't been ruling well. We have too many Christians today who will not allow God's word to have the final word in their lives. Too many nice Christian men and women who desire to do what they want to do rather than what God would have them to do. And so they're clinging and hanging on. Is it any wonder that our world is full of chaos? Are you aware that when Christ comes, when he says judgment begins, it begins at the house of God? Too many Christians have been duped by the devil into believing that they can serve two kingdoms. Too many Christians believe their only concern should be their own kingdom. Too many Christians have grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit of God in their lives. Too many Christians make every day an easy day for Satan. Can I ask you, are you making every day an easy day for Satan? Or are you making it tough on the old devil? When Christians make it an easy day for Satan, oh, how that must grieve the Holy Spirit of God, who has given us everything we need in His Word to break the strongholds of sin that Satan would love to bind us and hold us fast with. So I bring this message to a close this morning. If you haven't realized it up till now, dear Christian friend, you are engaged in an angelic conflict. You have the responsibility to allow God's Word and God's Spirit to sanctify your spirit, your soul, and your body. Don't allow the devil to steal your spirit, your soul. He can't steal your spirit, but he sure does want to take your soul and your body. Don't do it. All Satan wants to do is keep you from receiving the sanctification of soul and body so he can keep you in bondage, so he can keep you from being victorious over him. You see, he knows that if you feed on the truth of God's Word and you allow the truth of God's Word to have the final say in your life, you will be set free. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what, church?" This is the truth. You go outside these walls, you will not find truth. This is the truth. That's why Satan is doing all he can to convince you that you don't need to submit yourself to God. But I say to you, it's time. It's time for revival in America today. It's time for revival in the church. It's time for revival in you and me. It's time for Christian believers to stop being controlled by the devil and start marching to victory in Jesus' name. It's time to take back our homes and our government and our nation. It's time to take back our families. It's time to start reclaiming our children and our grandchildren for the glory of God, because the real crisis in America today is not a moral one, it's not a political one, it's not a social one, and it's not an economic one or a military one. The real crisis in America today is a spiritual one. And it's time for God's people to start living in the freedom that was purchased for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. When Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished," Satan was defeated both now, then, and forever. We have the victory in Jesus' name. It's time to start living life, a life that brings glory to Jesus Christ and His kingdom here on earth. Somebody say amen. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, Father, for this demonstration in a physical sense, which displays what goes on in a spiritual sense. And Lord, we pray for each and every one here that we would come away this morning knowing that there is a truth, and there is only one truth in this world, and it is God's truth. And we pray for each one of us that you would sanctify our spirit and our soul and our body, that we would be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps you're in this church this morning, or you're watching online, and you've recognized that you are not saved. And the good news is that if you're not saved, you can be saved today. You do not have to remain not saved. You can receive the salvation of your soul through repentance. But perhaps for others, you've seen how you've grieved the Holy Spirit and quenched His work in your life. And perhaps today, God is calling you to come and decontaminate your life to pray for the victory that's already secured for you, to confess your sins, standing on that wonderful promise, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we just pray for your mercy upon us today. For those who want to receive Christ this morning, I'm going to ask this church to bow their heads and to begin praying for those online and those to their right and to their left. And I'm going to share this prayer once, and I'd have you listen, because I don't want you to pray something that you don't mean, understand, or believe. And after I pray that prayer, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, you repeat it after me as I pray again. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself, but you can, and you did, when you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me for sinning against you. I am turning from my life of sin here this morning by repenting of them, and I'm turning to you now. Please forgive me and come into my life and grant me that gift of salvation. By faith, I am asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. My heart is yours. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. Now I'm going to pray that prayer again. And if you want to receive Christ online this morning, or maybe you're going to come at the altar call, you just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself, but you can and you did when you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me for sinning against you. I am turning from my life of sin by repenting of them, and I am turning to you now. Please accept my repentance and allow me to receive your free gift of salvation. By faith, I am asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. My heart is yours. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, Brother Marty is going to come and lead us in an invitational song. What is God saying to your heart this morning? What stronghold of sin might you need to let go of? I hope and I pray for each one of us that we will allow this word to get planted right here, that we would know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Friend, it's time for revival. It's time for revival in us. It's time for revival in America. It is time we begin to reclaim our children and our grandchildren. It is time that we stand up in America and that we say, "Thus saith the Lord." Because when we begin to speak the truth and we begin to live the truth, our world, our culture, our community, our schools, our places of employment, and our church will be changed for the glory of God, because we are building the kingdom of God, the King's way, not our way.